Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News. I'm Lance Pry. An IRS special agent said to be involved in the federal investigation into Hunter Biden is seeking whistleblower protections and wants to provide evidence of illegal activities about the probe to Congress. Attorney Mark Lytle.
My client wants to come forward. He's not a political person. He's not a social media person. He's not coming here with a political agenda. He's been at the IRS for more than 10 years, and now he's a supervisory special agent. He's actually been trusted as an assistant special agent in charge in other cities and trusted with international investigations and working with other countries' tax enforcement.
Conservative radio host and California gubernatorial candidate Larry Elder is announcing that he's running for president in 2024.
Elder joins a growing list of candidates looking for the GOP nomination, and he said on Twitter Thursday that America was in decline, but, quote, this decline is not inevitable. He won the most votes of any candidate in the effort to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom in 2021. He joins a group that includes former President Trump, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. I'm Skip Kelly.
Home prices in March posted the biggest annual decline in 11 years. Sales fell in March for the 13th time in the previous 14 months. It's a sluggish start to the crucial spring selling season as high mortgage rates stopped momentum from the previous month. The National Association of Realtors announced March sales fell 22% from a year earlier. A new Biden administration mortgage rule set up to take place May 1st will force loan applicants with good credit to pay higher fees and subsidize applicants with poor credit in the name of equitable access to home ownership. Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter charges in New Mexico have been dropped. Prosecutor Jason Lewis and Kerry Morrissey say the decision does not absolve Mr. Baldwin of criminal culpability and charges may be refiled. This is USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
The Lyrids meteor shower will be active tonight and peaking tomorrow night. This specific Lyrids shower comes from the comet Thatcher, which circles the sun roughly every 415 years. This is also one of the oldest recorded showers, with sightings going back to 687 BC China. President Biden may be gearing up to announce his bid for re-election soon.
Aides for the president have told allies the announcement could come as early as next week, with Tuesday being the four-year anniversary of his 2020 announcement. Biden is the oldest-serving president in U.S. history. Biden would be 82 years old if he ran again and won. I'm Dave Collins.
A North Carolina man who allegedly shot a six-year-old girl and her father over a basketball rolling in his yard has been arrested.
24-year-old Robert Lewis Singletary turned himself in to officials in Tampa, Florida, following a search that lasted 2 days. Singletary allegedly shot the father and his daughter following a dispute over a ball rolling into his yard. He'll appear in court Friday in Florida for a hearing that involves his extradition back to North Carolina. He faces attempted first-degree murder and other charges. I'm Ryan Daniels.
Former Minnesota police officer Kim Potter, who accidentally killed Dante Wright when she mistook her firearm for a stun gun during a traffic stop, is set to be released from prison Monday. Potter has served 16 months at the Shakopee, Minnesota Correctional Facility. Lance Pry, USA News.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're gonna love it. And you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez with you. Happy Monday. Good to have you with us as we start a week of remembrance, as we commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Holocaust. And Dan McMillan is back with us. Dan, as you may have realized, and if you were listening to the show several months back, we had a discussion about his new book, How Could This Happen?, explaining the Holocaust, and we thought it would be a perfect time to have Dan back so we can review what happened 80 years after the fact. The thing that's amazing to me is when you think about what was going on in Germany at the time, realize that Hitler did not seize power in a coup, and Hitler was not directly elected to power. Hitler and the Nazi Party came to power through Germany's legal political processes. Dan McMillan joins us now. Dan, welcome back. Good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you for having me. It's good to be with you again.
Well, here we are, commemorating, remembering what happened 80 years ago. And as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, what was Germany like prior to Hitler and prior to what we know as the Holocaust?
Well, you know, I think what you can see, on the right wing of German politics, you can see already starting in the 1890s, sort of radical aggressive nationalism and anti-Semitism being part of the playbook of the right wing of German politics. The basic context was that Germany, unlike United States, France, or England, was a semi-authoritarian constitutional monarchy where the elected parliament had little power, and the kind of principal tools that Germany's ruling class, very conservative ruling class, had for trying to contain the rise of the Socialist Party was to say effectively to Germans, let's not focus on class differences between working class and upper class. Let's focus on the fact that we're all Germans. And one way of focusing on the fact that we're all Germans is that these Jews among us are an alien race. They don't have German blood. They have another kind of blood of sort of genetic markers. And they are destructive, and they are setting us against each other. And this also built on was a widespread belief about the Jewish people, not just in Germany, but all over Europe and also in our country to a lesser extent, that Jews everywhere were the instigators of Marxism, and that there was a whole conspiracy theory that gained a lot of support, especially in the traumatic events following World War I, that Jews everywhere divided and conquered the societies in which they lived by setting class against class, that Marxism was their tool of doing so. Mm-hmm. And this eventually is sort of the particular strand of anti-Semitism that leads to the Holocaust. One of the reasons why Hitler invades the Soviet Union is he decides that the Soviet Union being a Marxist government is necessarily a Jewish government. It's the center of a worldwide Jewish Bolshevik conspiracy, and if he can crush the Soviet Union, he can banish the threat of communism forever. And that is probably the single most powerful sort of train of thought or sort of rationalization that all the perpetrators in the Holocaust told each other, mm-hmm. that by exterminating the Jewish people, they were banishing forever the threat of communism. So I've given you a kind of long answer, but I guess those are the most important things, you know, strands I would follow back from before Hitler took power to mm-hmm. kind of help explain what happens in the 1940s.
Well, my question also relates to the spiritual quotient of Germany at the time. Where was it spiritually?
I would say that the upper classes of Germany were by and large agnostic. Not all. I don't know. That's a very sweeping generalization. But mm-hmm. if you're referring to spirituality in the sense of organized religion, I think that one could make that case. One could mm-hmm. say that.
Well, what I'm getting at here is that was there? I mean, it just seems like there's a breakdown in the, I guess, the moral fiber of the citizenry. And part of that went hand in hand with the breakdown in terms of, you know, the strength of the church and how it folded. Because you hear stories, even to this day, how trains of Jews were, you know, traveling past churches. And church members would hear the Jews crying, and the pastors would say, just sing louder, to ignore, you know, what was going on in those cattle cars.
Well, I've never heard of a story that vivid, but it is on the money in the sense that really both major Christian denominations in Germany during the 1930s just completely folded to pressure from the authorities. In particular, they excluded from their houses of worship people of Jewish ancestry who had converted to Christianity. Often several generations before, by the definition of the regime, these people were nonetheless Jews because their religion was not important. What was important was that they allegedly belonged to a race, to a genetically defined ethnicity, and that thus their religious behavior was irrelevant. And the churches meekly accepted this and, you know, excluded they're Jewish communicants from religious services already in the 1930s, and this is part of what paved the way for the German people who had a lot of information about the murder of the Jewish people during the Holocaust, to turn a blind eye. I mean, I have a whole chapter about this in my book about what mm-hmm. the German people knew, and I think one of the clearest conclusions you can draw from that episode is that the German people received an enormous amount of information about the murder of Jews, and that they talked about it hardly at all. They seemed to have been completely indifferent, with complete coldness. And
exactly.
Yeah. But if I may, you know, I'd like to kind of zero in. I wouldn't necessarily talk about a moral breakdown specifically in German society, but I think that there are there are three factors that come in time that help to explain what I think is the distinctive feature of the Holocaust that we most need to understand, because I've spent decades trying to figure out how to explain in a concise manner why this happened, and mm-hmm. it's incredibly difficult to do, Bill, because yeah. the chain of events that lead up to this, you know, with what went on in German politics, the rise of Hitler, the Nazi Party, and so on and so forth, it's a very long and complicated string of events. You can drown in the details, and what people, and it keeps people from seeing, I think, that what is most essential and what really sets the Holocaust apart from all other episodes of mass killing, what kind of makes the Holocaust, and that is that In this particular point in time, the ruling class of our most advanced society chose to affirm that individual human life had no intrinsic value whatsoever.
Okay, I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm gonna let our audience think about that, because that is a powerful sentence that you just laid out. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dan McMillan. Stay right there.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I'm Bill Martinez. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're commemorating the 80th anniversary of one of mankind's darkest chapters, the Holocaust. The renowned historian, author, reveals what really caused this tragedy. Find out how hatred and hysteria collided, leading to a horrific genocide that forever changed our world. Dan McMillan is with us. He is the author of the book, How could this happen, explaining the Holocaust. Dan, I want you to pick up to the end of the first segment. You were talking about, your search for decades to figure out how do you succinctly capture the history of what happened and to be able to put it forth, because even to this day, it's not like 100% of humanity believes the Holocaust even happened.
That's right, Bill, and I'm glad that you flagged that. And I think that one reason why Holocaust denial gets as far as it does is that it is so difficult to make it comprehensible to people, and it's so difficult to make it comprehensible because there's an enormously long and complex political story that leads up to this event, and you easily drown in the details. And so what I want to focus on what I think is really most important for people to understand, and that is to say probably the best way, the most important cause of the Holocaust was, above all, that the people who did this saw absolutely no reason to not do it, because three important factors came together in that place and time that robbed human life of all value in the elite, in the eyes of Germany's elite, people, men who proudly affirmed in word and deed that, you know, an individual human life has no intrinsic value whatsoever. And, you know, if we could go back in time and ask these people why they were doing something so unbelievably cruel, I feel certain that most of them would say to us, they'd shrug their shoulders and they'd ask us, why not? They're just people. Mm. And the question is, how did human life lose all value in this really otherwise very comfortable and privileged elite of this advanced society? It's worth acknowledging that in every war, in every genocide, every massacre, killers dehumanize their victims and human life gets cheapened. But in the Holocaust, the dehumanization of the victims was total. The loss of the value of human life was complete. And I see three factors above all that came together in just a remarkable and I think unrepeatable sort of perfect storm of circumstances. One is just the shattering loss of life in the First World War. 10 million young men killed on the field of battle, including more than 2 million Germans. The whole population of Germany was 66 million at that time. If you scale those losses up to our population of 330 million, it would be as if we had just come off a war where we had 10 million killed in action, not to speak of the wounded. And that really lowered drastically the threshold for violence in the minds of everyone in European politics. Without it, the crimes of Hitler and Stalin are inconceivable. Historians are kind of in agreement on that. And that's one part, sort of the drastic cheapening of life, the acceptance that killing people by the millions is just a normal fact of political life. Mm-hmm. And Adolf Hitler, it's really that 4 years of service on the Western Front in World War I is really, more than anything else, what made Adolf Hitler a killer. The second is social Darwinist racism. This was a moment, is sort of the intellectual development of the Western world, where people, and this is the ruling classes, all educated people in pretty much all Western societies, accepted what was really a simplistic application of Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection to human society. They thought that wars between countries were a good thing rather than a bad thing, because over time, fit races or nationalities would exterminate unfit races and nationalities and lead to the improvement of the gene pool and the betterment of humankind. They also felt, not just felt, but believed and saw as scientific fact, the idea that every ethnicity, like Germans, Italians, Irish, Poles, Jews, was itself almost a separate race. Not a single human race as we know ourselves to be today, but each with their own genetic signature and with inbred characteristics and behavioral traits. And this opened the door to the idea that many branches of humanity had little value or no value, and one in particular, the Jews, were hardwired for destructive behavior And the only way to deal with them was to kill them, because they could
exterminate
not be converted.
Right.
And the final factor is it's hardest to get your mind around, but it's sort of the most important, which is to say that because the German people were so desperate in 1933 at the breakdown of their economy and of their political system, it's a moment when people will often look to, will hope for a savior of superhuman abilities to rescue them, because all other reasons for hope have fallen away. And Hitler comes into this moment, this sort of political vacuum, mm-hmm. where people are craving a strong man to solve the problems. And he then has an 8-year run of spectacular successes, of which the most important really is that Germany goes from 30% unemployment to full employment in only 4 years by 1937. Also, the lightning-fast defeat of France and England in the spring of 1940, and other successes as well. So that by the time the Holocaust began, Germans did not just see Hitler as an all-powerful tyrant, which he was, but really as a kind of demigod, mm-hmm. as a man of destiny who shaped history, and as someone who stood above and outside all moral and legal norms. And this belief in Hitler's special genius and even supernatural qualities, his connection with divine providence, which is how he saw himself, I am an instrument of providence, this dissolved moral and legal norms. It dissolved morality. Hitler, in the eyes of his people, and especially of his most fanatical followers in the SS, operated in a kind of norm-free space, of a space free of law and morality, and so did anyone who carried his commands. And therefore, the people who ran the death camps and the shooting squads, even if they were uncomfortable with what they were doing, or perhaps were troubled by the suffering of the people they were murdering, nonetheless felt that if Hitler commands this, by definition, it is morally acceptable. And that is a political system, as I say, that has never existed before or since, and is hard to imagine happening again. I mean, Stalin or Mao Zedong, they were all powerful in the sense that they could kill anyone they wanted, and you couldn't oppose them, but they were not worshipped in the way that Hitler was. That we've never seen at any other time in history, and that combined with the other two factors I name created this unique moment where human life lost all value whatsoever, and I think this is the reason more than any other why the Holocaust is the only historical event that frightens us, and therefore the only event that people around the world, millions of people, are willing to deny. Because, and when you think about it really, Bill, I mean, I think all of us would prefer to believe that something like this was not possible. And if someone if someone who sounds authoritative gives you an excuse to believe that it wasn't possible, to doubt it, it doesn't, I mean, I don't want to defend anyone who embraces denial, because it's disgusting. But I think I can see a lot of sort of misguided people out there who are frightened by this event. And when some vicious anti-Semite comes to them and says, and offers some spurious information, they get off the internet and said this didn't happen, you can see how people would let themselves be hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so, this is the only, as they say, the Holocaust is terrifying. Other massacres, other wars, they make us sad. They don't scare us. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the difference.
Did this reduce us to our lowest common denominator? We only got about 18 seconds left here, Dan. So, gosh, we gotta have you back as always to discuss this. I just so appreciate your historical insight in helping us remember and commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Holocaust.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
USA News Update. An IRS special agent said to be involved in the federal investigation into Hunter Biden is seeking whistleblower protections and wants to provide evidence of illegal activities about the probe to Congress. Attorney Mark Lytle.
Look, my client wants to come forward. He's not a political person. He's not a social media person. He's not coming here with a political agenda. He's been at the IRS for more than 10 years, and now he's a supervisory special agent. He's actually been trusted as an assistant special agent in charge in other cities and trusted with international investigations and working with other countries' tax enforcement.
Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter charges in New Mexico have been dropped. Prosecutor Jason Lewis and Carrie Morrissey say the decision does not absolve Mr. Baldwin of criminal culpability and charges may be refiled. Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend. Lance Pry, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
Minutes before the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. He is Kevin Slack. We're going to be talking about his new book, War on the American Republic, How Liberalism Became Despotism. You know, with the unprecedented ways in which the radical left is changing America and attempting to cancel longstanding American traditions, you know, you can't help but ask ourselves, you know, what more do they have in store for us? You know, okay, what's next? Americans often use the words progressive, liberal, and radical more or less interchangeably without understanding their place in American history. And here to clear up any kind of confusion whatsoever is Dr. Kevin Slack. Kevin, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Okay, your book, War on the American Republic. You had to write this book, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I mean, I think at first it was more of an academic enterprise. I was interested in a history of the left. Mm-hmm. And a good part of the book is just a lot of facts, trying to objectively understand these various movements, the older progressives, the mid-century liberals, kind of leave it to Beaver liberalism of the 1950s, the 60s radicals. But I finished the book during the COVID lockdowns. Mm-hmm. And what became apparent to me was that those who were in power were prepared to take away all the most important freedoms that Americans had taken for granted as being their natural rights. You consider the lockdowns, and you had a bar on religious assembly, right? So freedom of conscience, assembly, mm-hmm. association. We saw how there was an attempted censorship, and often successful, in smothering information. So we lose our freedom of the press. So these are the ways that I saw those core rights threatened. And so by the end, I mean, particularly at the end of the book, some might call it quite radical, but it's something of a a list of grievances, and with hopefully would inspire young conservatives to try to resist this form of despotism.
Well, if we're going to fix the problem, we've got to identify it. And, Kevin, this is why your book is such a breath of fresh air, is because, you know, this stuff has kind of been happening. And for some people, you know, I have people saying, gosh, Bill, I feel like a mushroom. I'm just kept in the dark. There's all this manure that's piling up on me, and I keep getting, I got bruises. I'm getting beat up constantly, and I don't even know where it's coming from. But the fact of the matter is that we have power-hungry people who are social engineering, you know, this democratic republic, which, you know, we still refer to it as democratic republic, but that's far gone in the rearview window. We've got some, you know, some aberration of this constitutional republic, and it is changing so quick that many people believe, Kevin, that we've lost it altogether.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things and that you just referenced is being honest about what we are as a regime type. We use these words like democracy, republic, and often in a very farcical way. You know, what is a democracy? You know, for 2,000 years, democracy meant that the people actually made the laws themselves, which is why our founders chose a republican form that was ratified by the people. And republicanism wasn't just some federal government. Republicanism was a thread that ran through every element of American life, from people governing themselves in private associations and corporations to local governance, school boards, and at the state level. And so I think getting to be very real and honest and critical in a radical sense as to what we are as a regime is crucial. Yeah. For example, what happened to the rule of law? Mm-hmm. Is there any rule of law? How can you say that, you know, a 5,000-page COVID relief bill that comes into Congress the morning of its passage is law at all, where the congresspersons don't even write the bills, they don't read the bills, they're written by special interest. So we can, and it's applied, right, on a case-by-case basis by
exactly.
A very prejudiced administrative boards and commissions and agencies. So, you know, we should stop talking about the farce of democracy and republicanism as a way of trying to consider what would that look like if we were to actually have those things. And I think that's a foundation for some improvements.
You know, Kevin, we talk consistently on this show, you know, derived from our Constitution, the Declaration, that it's about we the people. You know, the intent of our forefathers are the governing body when they were putting the American idea together and the structure, the system of it, was that we the people were to be in charge. We the people are no longer in charge. There has been such a paradigm shift that the ruling class, you can call it the deep state if you want, because there's so much. I mean, it's almost like these elected officials that we vote for, it's kind of a ruse. You know, they're not actually the ones running the government. I mean, we hear, you know, today constantly people say, you know, who's running the government? Who's the president of the United States? You know, we have Joe Biden by name, but people, I mean, and that's pretty scary when people, Kevin, think, you know, I don't believe Joe Biden's running things.
No, and of course, you know, an even better example, perhaps, although only perhaps, would be John Fetterman.
Mm-hmm.
You saw his introductory
yes.
remarks in the subcommittee,
oh,
but here's a guy who can't get through a single sentence, and the Democratic Party has such a good ground game; it's very well funded. And then you had all of the suspicious activities in the last election. So whether he even won the election on the up and up, you end up with candidates who are, in a way, celebrities, but don't actually participate in ruling, and that those who actually rule are insulated bureaucrats who think that they can't lose their jobs. And it was
mm-hmm.
This is so entrenched that when Trump was elected president, remember, we had the resistance in the deep
mm-hmm.
state, and
exactly.
literally bureaucrats saying, we are lying to the commander-in-chief about the troop levels in Syria. I mean,
mm-hmm.
so here, I mean, you would think that if you had any respect for the Constitution and the rule of law, you'd say, well, at least the commander chief should have information about where the troops are. But
right.
no, openly saying we lied and we're proud of it. And this has been reflected time and again where bureaucrats take pride in becoming a faction unto themselves in the government with no check on behalf of the people.
Well, they've become a permanent ruling class. I mean, they don't think. They know. They've gone through enough managerial changes, and they've got control. And look at, fast forward to this week, the latest, you know, Pentagon leaks. What's that saying? You know, the American people have been lied again. I mean, do we believe that Joe Biden knows this, knows all this information?
Well, and you know, it's a great example you bring up. Here's a case where we've been lied to for a straight year on the successes in Ukraine. I mean, if you're conservative, you've been suspicious of these all along. But something like 300,000 deaths, I'm reading as to this report. And you're talking about a country with a population of, I don't recall, something like 40, 50 million people. I mean, this is
right,
a bloodbath.
Exactly.
And we are supporting this. So how can you say that we have a democracy, a republic, when the people themselves have no choice as to whether we're actually going to war or not? I mean, that would be one of the most basic decisions that the people's elected representatives would take a vote on, not just voting to, quote, support the troops, but saying that this is a declaration of war on Putin and in Russia. And we have our own president who's making that comment and refused to apologize for it, where we are claiming that we're going to depose the leader of the other major nuclear power in the world. So this is just one example as to how far from rule the people really are. And I think also how corrupted and insulated in their own bubbles all of those who are in the halls of power really are. A good example of this is the recent Anheuser-Busch scandal, right, with Bill Mulvaney on the cover of Bud Light.
Right.
So what kind of a degenerate coming out of an Ivy League school or a large research institution gets a job in marketing at one of the most prestigious beer firms in the world?
Exactly.
And makes decisions that are so alienated from their own consumer. I think that's reflective of the people that call the shots in our government generally.
Yeah, it's amazing because when you think about it, I've been in marketing most of my life, and I've been privileged to participate in the development and establishment of three brands for three different companies. And boy, I'll tell you, when you have, you know, been able to do that, that is hallowed ground. That is precious territory. And to have somebody straight out of school being able to have an impact on a brand, the very core and soul of a company, and cost it in excess of $6 billion is irresponsible. I mean, the CEO, which I got to tell you, I mean, being a former Marine, he's a former Marine. It really broke my heart. Think, wait a minute, Marines know better than this. What are you thinking that you would do this? Go ahead.
Well, you think about it, was that old line, it comes from about 100 years ago, as I recall, of the, I think it was a copper magnate. He said, why would I mine the earth when I can mine the halls of Congress? And if you look at a lot of these very large corporations, they exist in a monopoly status because of their alliance with what you call the deep state.
Got to go to break. We've got more from Kevin Slack after this. Stay with us.
Would you like to hear better for as little as 10 cents a day? Now you can with the all-new Audion hearing aids. The average hearing aid lasts about 3 years. Ours, at only $99 a pair, means you're paying as little as 10 cents a day to hear better. And to make things even better, we'll give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Skip the doctor and get hearing aids delivered straight to your door. We've eliminated all the middlemen to offer you a factory direct price of only $99 a pair. Join over 300,000 people just like you who took advantage of our 45-day trial offer. Now you can hear better too for just 10 cents a day. Call now and order your $99 pair of Audion hearing aids with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Plus, get free 3 to 5 day shipping.
800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. 800-577-5319. That's 800-577-5319.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again.
Ouch!
Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free, and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. 800-823-9853. That's 800-823-9853.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want
pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
With the America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Dr. Kevin Slack continues with us as we talk about the war on the American Republic, how liberalism has become, or how liberalism became despotism. Kevin, we cut you off because we had to go to break, but I wanted you to finish your thought there.
Oh, I was just going to comment. It's amazing the contempt that these companies even have for their consumers, mm-hmm. where they feel this kind of a power to say, yeah, you are actually irreplaceable. We've got 7 billion consumers in the world. We don't care about you anymore. And then to so flippantly, I don't know if you saw this this supposedly patriotic commercial that they cranked out.
Right. They brought back the horses, right?
But yeah. So in that sense, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on anymore. Mm-hmm. Does anybody really believe anything that they hear that comes out of the mainstream media or the CDC? All of these former sources of authority, I think, have lost all credibility, particularly after COVID.
You see, but you bring up a good point. See, this is the thing about monopolies. And there is some argument. In fact, we were just talking with another expert here recently that is one of the indictments against monopolies is against capitalism, because it creates monopolies. But his point is that, yes, it creates, but it also deconstructs monopolies, because when capitalism is in operation, well, it is the consumer that dictates, not the government or not companies. At this point right now, they've been able to fortify their positions, as you say. And so they lose a little bit with Bud Light. But then people still want to drink beer. So, you know, they pick another brand and so they've just exchanged dollars, basically.
Yeah, I think the powerful argument in favor of capitalism against monopolies is that if you have free market competition, these are the kinds of choices made by marketing departments that are going to hurt those companies. But we've seen time and again, this is over the last several decades, is that you find government intervention to benefit certain monopolies. For SVB is a good example, the Silicon Valley
mm-hmm.
Bank.
Right.
Why is it that they're bailing out all of these incredibly wealthy investors, even above and beyond what the law promises under the FDIC. I think that's where conservatives should be justly suspicious of just the talking points of free markets and capitalism, and say, okay, what do we really have here? Do we really have an instance where companies are forced to compete with one another and receiving all the wonderful benefits from that?
Well, and the thing is, again, we're being ruled by fear, whether it's COVID, whether a bank run, let's go down the list, housing market, it's all, we can't afford to have this happen. They're too, as has been said, too big to fail. Well, that's not the way life works. And, I mean, no question that if these banks were allowed to fail, there would be a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a hiccup. But I say a little bit of a hiccup in terms of what the marketplace would do in teaching banks and other businesses that you have to be faithful to the capitalistic principles, because that is what giveth and what taketh away, right?
Yeah, and I love your point about fear. You know, when you think about a despotism, which is rule outside the law, one of the ways that you can secure your power is by constantly exhausting the population with fears of different things. And I think we saw this under COVID, but we also see this in all the ways that the warnings about environmental disaster and chaos are also foisted on the population. And that ties right back into the justification as to why these companies claim that they should have their monopolies, right?
Exactly.
ESG scores, the idea that, well, as a corporation, we're not really about making profit. What we're really about is social justice, and that's going to justify our existence, even if we can't manage whatever affairs that we're involved in.
And you imagine, Kevin, I mean, here it is, investors, they've got retirement funds locked in. We've got pensions in governments and in cities, and there's guarantees. I mean, you got to love how these unions are able to work, within the government and have guaranteed performance. So what do they care? No big whoop for them, because guess who gets to make up the difference? We the people.
Yeah, and you see how this is, it played out in California, where you had towns or cities that were going bankrupt because of these lavish pensions that have been guaranteed for city workers. You know, you think about the older unions, they at least produce something, whereas now you're ending up with unions that can't even deliver the goods in basic things like education. Where this plays out is the mismanagement of the country ends up corroding faith in the U.S. dollar itself. And then you've got a real problem. How are you going to borrow on the credit of a currency that has no credit to give?
And we already have the crosshairs all over our dollar right now, with the petrodollar at risk, the movement of the CCP, Saudi Arabia, the BRICS cabal, how they're coming together. I mean, I'll tell you, the damage that has been done to America by the current regime is incalculable right now. On the horizon, we see what could be projected, and it doesn't fare well for America being $31 trillion in debt. I mean, we could end up with a very serious problem here, Kevin.
Yeah, and I think there is a danger of often you run into conservatives, and they just depend on this. I don't think we should take our eye off the ball of the liberties that are taken from us now. But I don't see any way out of this. I don't see any way out of how the dollar eventually does not become the world's reserve currency because of its mismanagement. And when that happens, I think heads are going to roll. I think there's going to be real resentment on the part of the people who have lost their pensions. You know, right now, because the dollar is the world's reserve currency, there can be a general complacency. People generally have a faith, whether they express it or not, despite their cynical comments, they generally have a faith they're going to get their retirement benefits, their pensions, and it's not going to be corroded by inflation. But I don't think that's going to be the case, right, another 5-10 years. You look at a lot of these programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, already insolvent. You can read the productions of the Treasury Department. And I don't remember the exact year when we're supposed to run out of Social Security assets, but it's coming very quickly.
Before it used to be like 10, 15 years. Now we're down to about 7.
Yeah. So it doesn't look good on the horizon, and the constant warmongering that we see on the part of the administration. This is where I think conservatives are just to say there's got to be some kind of conspiracy theory. How could you have people ruling a country who are so incompetent and corrupt and degenerate? Are they really doing this thinking it's going to benefit the country, forcing Russia and China into an alliance, an economic alliance and a military alliance? It's quite disturbing.
Well, when you look back historically, Kevin, and you see movements like this have taken place, whether you're talking Venezuela, Cuba, whatever, you have that ruling class that kind of deludes itself into thinking that they're going to be the last man standing and that somehow they're going to survive. And also it is preceded by a level of arrogance and silo thinking and group thinking that in their own world, they're so confident and assured that they're right and 330 million people got it all wrong. And thank God that they're there to save us, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And, I mean, it's nuts.
The insularity, too, of these the whole system that's been constructed, these name brand or luxury brand universities, Ivy League schools, research universities, those really are the gateways to power. And you go to those places, and it's monolithic. There's nothing but a groupthink there. And now they don't even have to take tests to make sure that it's some kind of a meritocracy. During COVID, you had law schools getting rid of the LSAT. They got rid of the GREs at some schools, the SATs, the ACTs, and they've replaced that with this notion of equity or diversity. And so you end up with incredibly incompetent people who are simply passed along because they can cite the dogma of social justice.
Exactly.
And given once they get into those schools, they can fail from then on, and they don't ever have to face the repercussions of it.
It's worked well for Joe Biden. I mean, he lied to us. He told us, oh, he graduated at the top of his class. Go, well, I think maybe you misread the chart. It's upside down, Joe. You were at the bottom of your class. God bless you. I mean, my goodness. And you're exactly right. What's happened? It's we have this, this veil of mediocrity that's been thrown upon the free market system and the exceptionalism of America. I got to say, our founding fathers, those in the previous generation that worked their butts off, you know, for American greatness, have got to be spinning, not even rolling. I mean, they are literally spinning in their graves to see what's happening to America, this acceptance of mediocrity. And to me, part of the gateway of this, I've been forced to work in unions in certain experiences of my life, is the whole union mentality produces mediocrity. And I'm sad to say, but that's been my personal experience.
Well, when you get to even those in government with Biden and Hunter Biden, they're simply using the benefits that they've received, that were born into, to secure for themselves all these lucrative deals abroad that are incredibly corrupt. And so there's no real merit. It's rather you're paying for access. In fact, to the point where the people who are elected rulers don't have to read or write the bills anymore, don't have to actually participate in governance because they've delegated those powers away.
Right. Well, and is it any wonder, you know, here we are, and then you have the ridiculousness of Nancy Pelosi's statement, you just got to pass it to find out what's in it.
Yeah, and you when you talk to people who work on the Hill, what they call it is cashing out. So if you're gonna work for the legislative reference services that actually write the bill, put it in statutory language, and you secure interest for some corporation that's giving the candidate money, you do that for 4 years, and then you quote cash out, and then you can move from your lowly staff or pay, and you're going to be making about $250,000 a year, or far more than what you had made before. And so that's just part of the cursus honorum. That's part of the trajectory of those who work in D.C. Another good quote from that. So Nancy Pelosi, you're absolutely right. Remember Max Baucus? He was asked, did you read the bill that you sponsored? And he very openly said, you don't want me to read that bill. He goes, that's what we have all the experts for. They're the ones who are supposed to do that. And it means that they don't have to take a stance on anything. They've delegated all responsibility.
Exactly. Dr. Kevin Slack has been our guest. His new book, War on the American Republic, How Liberalism Became Despotism. It'll be linked on our website, available at all the usual places. It is a must read for you, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Slack, as always, appreciate it. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of